This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour with Pastor David M. Atkinson. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your interest and request that you pray for this ministry. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Now here is Pastor Atkinson.
The message I'm bringing today will be a two-part series. The most I can do this morning is just set the table and put the plate there and the salad plate and the dessert plate and the cutlery. The best I can do this morning is set the table, sort of put things in place, and then we'll pull it together around the Lord's Supper table this evening. If your health permits, only if your health permits, would you turn to Mark 11 and stand for a responsive reading? Mark 11, this is a passage that just begs to be read responsively, and I think we read with more emphasis when we're on our feet, but we understand that health does not permit everyone to stand. Mark 11, 1 through 10, I'm going to begin. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sendeth forth two of his disciples. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway, or immediately, he will send him hither. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and Jesus sat upon him.
And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strung them in the way.
And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna! Now join me on the rest of that verse. Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And everyone on 10, blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Please be seated. Turn also over to Mark 14. I'm still setting the table. I'm establishing a backdrop for the messages this morning and this evening. Mark 14. Would you listen as I read? Mark 14 and verse 12. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, was the custom to kill the Passover, Jesus' disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And Jesus sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. This was unusual. Usually the women carried the water. This was going to stand out as unique. So Jesus said, follow the man who's bearing the pitcher of water. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, The master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. Verse 17, and in the evening Jesus cometh with the 12. And verse 22, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. This is a picture or a representation of my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Our text for the messages today is Mark 14, 26, the last verse that we read. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. If you will just quickly go back to where we started in Mark 14, 12, and trace through the verses, you'll see that throughout these activities of recruiting and sending, deputizing, it's Jesus who's taking the lead. Jesus takes the lead. He gives the instructions. He gives the directives to the disciples in all of this. They ask the first question, and then he gives them instructions as to what they're supposed to do all the way through in making the preparations. Jesus takes the lead. The disciples are following. I have entitled the messages today, When Jesus Led the Song Service. When Jesus led the song service, he led it all. He led in giving the directives, instructions. He led it all. So we're going to look together at when Jesus led the song service. Now come back to Mark 11:9. This is sometimes called the triumphal entry. This, of course, is before what we call the Lord's Supper. Jesus is just arriving at Jerusalem at this point. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the Hebrew language means, oh, save, we pray. Save, we pray. Now, it's an exclamation. Save, we pray. But the word seems to have become, with the passing of time, an utterance of praise and adoration. It started out as a prayer, save us, save us. We pray, but in time, it becomes an utterance of praise, worship, adoration. It means, save me, help me. And let me say to you this morning, if you're here without a Savior, Jesus will save you if you call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to acknowledge, just as I've had to, you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. that in even your best, you have mixed motives. You need to acknowledge, we need to acknowledge that we're born sinners. And we need to see that Jesus came as our Lamb to shed sinless blood, to purchase the forgiveness of sins for all who will trust upon Him and depend upon Him. And the word Hosanna means save me. He will save you if you call upon Him sincerely. The people's cry here at our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem was taken from their songbook. More specifically, this quotation in Mark 11:9 was taken from Psalm 118. Now, Psalm 118 was one of the songs in the Jewish songbook. Psalm 118, and this should remind those of us who have been able to be here for the Lord's Day evening series on the 15 Songs of Degrees. There are similarities here. Psalm 118 was in another small songbook within the larger Psalter. So we have the little Psalter, which is the Songs of Degrees, and we have another little Psalter or little songbook within the larger book of Psalms. Psalm 118 was recited in what we call responses, with the priest speaking and the people answering back. One of our children's Sunday school classes had that this morning. We just did that a few moments ago when I led out and you answered back. Psalm 118, which is being referred to in Mark 11:9, was a responsive psalm or song. And the whole process involved the waving of palm branches, or also willow branches. Now, keep a finger here in Mark 11:9 and come back to Psalm 118. I'm not asking you just to take my word for it. I want you to see it for yourself. Keep a finger in Mark 11:9 and come over to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, and look at verse 26. Let's read it together in unison. Psalm 118, verse 26. The first word is blessed. Read with me, please. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. And now back in Mark 11:9, they that went before and followed cried, saying, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So the Jews who are welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem, giving him a reception fit for a king, they're quoting from their songbook, and they're quoting from song, I will call it Psalm 118. And we're going to read Psalm 118 this evening. There is so much in it. Now, I want you to turn to the first psalm in this other little Psalter, and that's Psalm 113. Turn to Psalm 113. Andrew Bonar was a Scottish preacher. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says about Psalm 113 and thereafter. The Jews have handed down the tradition that this Psalm 113 and those that follow on to the 118th Psalm were all sung at the Passover. So you're looking at Psalms 113 through inclusive, Psalm 118, they're all sung as part of the Jewish worship at Passover time, and the unit is designated the Great Hallel. All right, say that with me, the Great Hallel. Once again, the Great Hallel. So the Psalms we're studying Lord's Day evening are the Songs of Degrees. These Psalms, 113 through 118, are the Great Hallel. Say another good Jewish Baptist word with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let your voice hang up halfway through. Put a pause halfway through. Hallelujah. Oh, Baptists need practice. Again, hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah. This is where that comes from. It's for Baptists who love the Lord and want to worship him, but it comes from the Jews. And so Psalm 118 is the last of the Psalms in the Great Hallel, and we get that term of worship or praise from it, hallelujah. Hallel is the root. Yah is part of God's name, Jehovah. Yah is a short form for God. Hallelujah. Worship Yah. Worship Jehovah. Praise be to Jehovah. That's what the word hallelujah means. Praise be to Jehovah. Praise be to Yahweh. Praise the Lord. Andrew Bonar continues. This Jewish tradition, and they keep very close to their customs, they pass them down. This Jewish tradition shows, at any rate, that the ancient Jews perceived in these six psalms some link of close connection. And Bonar says that the common thread is God the Redeemer. Say that with me. God the Redeemer. That's the common thread or the common theme of the Great Hallel, the Great Hallelujah, the six psalms that make up the Hallel. The theme is of God's redemption. And each of these six songs in the Great Hallel celebrate some aspect of God's redemption. To redeem is to buy back. To redeem is to buy back from slavery. Whether literal slavery or spiritual slavery, being in bondage to Satan. To redeem is to pay a purchase price and to buy back. In each of the six songs in the Great Hallel, it has a connection to the grand doctrine of redemption. Because this is so, while they suited the Passover feast, we can see that they also would be so fitting and appropriate on the lips of the Savior, the one who led the singing at that Last Supper. He was to be the person of redemption. And as he led the song service that evening, he was leading out about the fact that he was the Redeemer, and not only the Jews, but also Gentiles needed to be saved from sin, bought back from the slavery and bondage of sin. And so, when Jesus led that song service, he was singing about himself over and over and over again. Make a study this week. look at each of these six psalms of the great Hallel, 113 through 118, and mark every reference that has anything to do with redemption. God redeeming man, either the Jews or Jews and Gentiles, because Jesus came to redeem both Jew and Gentile. Now, let's come to some simple truths and practical applications to help us on this Palm Sunday and always. Now, I'll just come to the first simple practical truth this morning, and we'll come back at it this evening. I want you to put it down where you live, and I'll try to put it down where I live. I'm not trying to flatter. Flattery doesn't work anyhow, but I used to like to see Homer Britton, who affiliated with Tennessee Temple and was an evangelist. I liked to see Homer Britton lead the singing, and I liked to hear Al Chambers and watch him lead the singing. Al Chambers had a dignity about him when he led the singing. And I thank God for our current song leaders. I thank God for Brother Paul Arand and Pastor Lee and Brother Bird, who leads singing Wednesday evenings. I thank God for song leaders that stir God's people to sing. But what do you think it was like to have Jesus as the song leader? Oh my. Now, thank you for smiling. Smiles here are just as big a deal as, you know, down in Kentucky and South Carolina, people get their handkerchiefs out at this point, and everybody saying, amen, amen, and some sister stands up and waves her handkerchief. But this is the Midwest, and instead of saying, amen, we smile. We smile. And I'm verbalizing that because smiles can't be seen on audio recordings. And these sermons go out all over the world on sermon audio now. So what we do here, instead of waving hankies and saying, hey, man, we smile. Let the record show that the people of the Dyer Baptist Church have just smiled. Big smiles. What do you think it was like to have Jesus as the song leader? What did they sing about? When Jesus led the singing. Well, we know. We're not in the dark. God has not left us without witness. We know what it was like when Jesus led the song service. We especially know what the contents and the doctrines of that song service were. We begin in our text, before we get to the Psalms in the great Hallel, we must begin at the beginning with the text, Mark 14:26. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. You say, Pastor, that's at least three times that you've given us the text. Pastor, is your long play record stuck? No. My long play record is not stuck this time. Because I want you to know that at the time of this Passover meal and the institution of the Lord's Supper, I want you to know that the one who led the singing, the one who led the disciples in the singing, also did some singing himself. There is no way he just sat there passively and moved a few of his fingers. The song leader sang himself. Now, do our song leaders here sing? Yes. And that's part of the chemistry. Song leaders sing unless they're exhausted. Song leaders sing to encourage the disciples, the people to sing. And so that is the first simple, practical application. When Jesus led the song service, God was praising God. Oh. When Jesus led the song service, God was praising God. And some of us who are not God go a whole day and never praise God. What a lesson we have. And it's a lesson that, if need be, can shame us. Do you praise the Lord every day? Do you worship the Lord every day? When Jesus led the song service, God praised God. And if God praised God, how much more should you and I praise the Lord? Praise ye the Lord. The charismatics should not have a corner on praising God. Baptists should never default and say, well, we just don't do that. If you just don't do that, then you better spend some time in your Bible. The Atkinson translation says, Baptist, thou shalt praise the Lord. Baptists, thou shalt praise the Lord, and not just default to the charismatics. Praise is comely. Praise is pleasant for God's people. Jesus was and is fully God. There never was a time when Jesus was not God. True? There never was a second. There never was a millisecond when Jesus was not God. So when Jesus led the song service that evening, God praised God. There are three persons in one Godhead. I don't profess to understand it all, but I believe it. I am Trinitarian. That's what the scriptures teach. One God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus led this song service, God the Son was praising God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus led this song service, God the Son was praising God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Turn to Psalm 22. Turn to Psalm 22. Look at verse 1. Psalm 22, verse 1. The first verse of Psalm 22 establishes both a messianic and crucifixion context. I repeat, the first verse of Psalm 22 establishes both a messianic and crucifixion context. This verse is about the Messiah. This verse is also about the death of the Messiah. My God, the Son would cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, go now to verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword. My darling, God the Father's chosen one, my darling, God the Father's chosen one, from the power of the dog, save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. These verses are both applicable to the Messiahship of Jesus and his crucifixion. But now, look at verse 22. I, the Messiah, the one who cried out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" I will declare thy name unto my brethren. I will declare it, says the Messiah. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. This evening was the song leader, God, praising God. Am I beginning to feel a little bit small yet? Are you beginning to feel like perhaps you should devote more of your week to praise and worship? I'm going to keep harping on these things, my dear people. Perhaps less television. Perhaps one fewer golf game a week. One fewer trip to Chicago for a 3-hour, 2-hour, 45-minute hockey game or football game, so that you deliberately make time to worship the Lord? Are we beginning to sense some conviction yet? This is not the time for pitchfork theology. This is the time for me, and this is the time for you to realize if God, praise God, when God led the song service that night, then surely you and I should take time every day to praise the Lord. And if we are not, we're not doing what we were made for. We were created to worship the Lord. Jesus, very God of very God, took the time to worship God. Jesus' complete purpose in coming to earth was to glorify God the Father through the redemption of all those men and women and youths who depend on the merit of the shed blood of himself for salvation. That's why he came. And he says in John 17, "Father, I have glorified you. I have glorified you." So in this song service, God worshiped God. And you, dear friend, are just too cotton picking big for your britches if you never take the time to worship God. And I'm talking about if your health permits that you get on your knees and lay yourself out before God and tell him that he's far greater than you'll ever be, and he alone is worthy of praise. It's no wonder some of us Baptists get so brittle with the pressures of life if we never take time to worship the Lord. I don't wonder that you're just about to crack up if you don't take time every day to give God his due and step outside of your own smallness into the grandeur of God. He's much bigger than me. He's much bigger than you. He's much bigger than my problem. He's much bigger than your problem. But if you never step into him in the matter of worship, then you're trying to go it all alone, and it isn't working out, is it? God designed worship to lift our loads and bring back joy. That's why he designed worship. Not only for himself, certainly because he's worthy, but worship is one of the things that the all-knowing, loving God has given to human beings to lift us out of our little selves and into his bigness. And after we're lifted out of ourselves into his bigness, then our problems begin to look small. If you're not worshiping, then your problems get bigger and bigger and bigger with each passing hour. Do you want to reduce the size of your problems? Then spend time every day worshiping God. when Jesus led the song service, God was praising God. We should praise God too.
We trust you have been encouraged or strengthened by the word today. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at graceglory7@juno.com. That's graceglory, the number 7, at juno.com. We will reply to all those who contact us. And now, until next time, may the good Lord bless and keep you.